for the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with a second weekly look at the world of non-league football. Yes, it's a while since we did this, but in an attempt to get a slightly different look and feel at what non-league final day means to those involved, this seemed too good an opportunity to turn down. Two legends of their club at Ascot United, Doug Page, a man who first turned up at the club with two young sons looking for a club to learn football at. He ended up doing his own coaching badges and never leaving, even helping re-establish the Ascot United men's side and appearing as a player before taking on a role on the committee and even a stint as chairman. And he's on the board now. Doug even played under the managerial guidance of my other guest's father, Ray Saunders. And he's also been known to turn out for the vets. That's where Rob Saunders now represents the Yellow Men. But as a player, he played a big part in their two previous FA Vars runs to the quarterfinals and admits he's a tad jealous of the lads who will represent Ascot United on Sunday at Wembley in the FA Vars final. A little bit different, a little bit extra for you to absorb before the season ends. So sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. Okay, so the FA Vars final then, and again, a slightly different approach this week to our preview here. We've spoken already this season to Newport Pagnell Town boss Gary Flynn and indeed United chair Simon Negus, but there may be the obvious calls, and we could probably talk to them post-match this weekend for their reactions once the final's over. But I wanted to get some thoughts of people who have been involved with their football club for many, many years, come from different angles, and what this big day means. I'm blown away by the opportunity to get an Ascot United view from two people who really can call themselves Yellow Men. One's a former, I believe, former chairman, now director, also former player and a manager of the Ascot men's sides. The other's a former player now running out, I believe, for Ascot United Vets still.
Running is a loose term
for the Vets, too. But it's a pleasure to welcome two club legends from Ascot United, Doug Page and Rob Saunders. Welcome.
Wonderful to be here.
We're speaking now Friday morning. The final is Sunday morning. Did you guys get up this morning with a little bit of extra bounce in your step?
For sure. It's been a pretty big week for us down the club, though. I mean, having been back and forward there, there's a lot going on, and yeah, you know, as it's getting nearer the end of the week now, we're just building for it, yeah, and getting in the zone, I suppose, is the word, Tim.
And I love the fact we're talking on Zoom, and I can see in the background you've got your Ascot United memorabilia up in the background as well. That just sort of adds to the edge.
Yeah, it's a funny one, actually, because there's a lot of yellow and blue in this house anyway, after 35-odd years of association to the club. But yeah, it's gone a little bit to another level this week. So that there behind me is my daughter's first ever football shirt, and I couldn't think of a better one for her to have at 4.5 years old, and Sunday will be her first game. But yeah, I was thinking about this yesterday, about, I'm really not involved Sunday. I'm there as a supporter and someone with a history with the club. But I've had some moments this week where I've struggled to think about work, and I'm thinking about how the players must be feeling if they've had to do day-to-day bits and pieces this week. That they are, I imagine their efficiency levels have been pretty low.
It's great that you're getting that next generation through as well with your daughter. But Doug, I think you got involved at Ascot United through a similar way, like many people in non-league, because you got involved with your sons and coaching that way.
I did, certainly, yeah. I started coaching my 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds. Well, in fact, I just turned up as a willing parent, and within about 3 weeks, I was brought on board as a helping coach, if you like, and then did my prelim badge, and I guess the rest is history, you know. And managed to get a game at the age of 40 in the first team when Rob's dad, Ray, was managing the team.
If Dad was short, Doug would get a shout.
Absolutely.
No, I'm only kidding. He was an integral part of Dad's team.
Do you know, I was looking back just now, and at 40, I was at the end of my career, if you like, and I was just doing my thing with my own kids and played for Ascot men's teams for about 3 or 4 years. And you know, guys like Rob were 12 years old, you know, and here I'm at 69 now, and I'm still kicking around with them on the vets team. So, you know, it's a great place to be. And the club's so inclusive, you know, it's just got so many teams, and it is a real community club. That's the good thing about it, you know. So it's not all about this.
And that's why these occasions at Wembley are so fantastic. But going back to that first time that you turned up on the touchline with your sons, I mean, how far from reality was it that you would then be going to Wembley with Ascot United?
Oh, absolutely. Couldn't even think about it. I mean, wouldn't even dare think about it, would you? Just wouldn't dare think about it.
And we spoke about this because when the genesis of the men's team in the early 90s that sort of Doug was a part of, the pitch that we played at was rather affectionately known as the Bog. And it got changed in a what's now a freight container, and that's an upgrade on what it was. There was no light in there, cold showers, a little pitch in South Ascot by the Swinley pub, and then Sunday we are in the most recognisable football stadium on earth. And in 30... Just under or just around 30 years to get from that to that. That, you know, that may sound like a long time, but I think, you know, there's clubs that have been around, or first teams that have been around for so much longer than that. It's actually quite an expedited process. And that's really because of people like Doug that have just given up so much of their time in so many different roles. And at last minute, in certain cases, that's happened. So Sunday is a day out for absolutely everybody, whether they've played a part in the club 30 plus years like Doug and I have, or it's going to be 3 days worth of association with a club because they've seen a poster in the butchers down the high street, right? It's going to be, it doesn't matter. Sunday is a day that united to everybody in that sense.
Has the town got behind you this week?
Yes, as far as I could see, the place is buzzing, isn't it, Rob? I mean, you know, there's people have got placards in windows and, you know, there's flags about and, everybody's walked around with an Ascot smile on their face. So
yeah, I'm pretending that the lazy people that haven't taken down the bunting is there. They've left it up for us somehow. But yeah, it's certainly, you know, you can't take a walk if you're associated with a club like Doug and I. I doubt you can take a walk down the high street without getting stopped and asked about it at the moment. You know, there's posters in pretty much every shop down there, and I believe ticket sales are sort of pushing 5k now, which is fantastic when you think what we get to a regular home game, and hopefully that will have a knock-on effect of what's an exciting season next season as well.
I mentioned that you're both club legends, Rob. I suppose you're a recognisable face for those that will go and watch the games, because I remember reporting on this show when you were part of that Jeff Lamb, Paul McGrotty era, FA Vars quarterfinal, 2 years with a separate in between, 2013, 2015. You're still, when those dreams ended, when you lost that second quarterfinal, that dream of ever getting to Wembley with your club must have sort of expired. And now, you know, you say you're not as actively involved. You're still turning out for the vets. You're still doing various bits for the club. You're still an ambassador for the club.
I'm around. Yeah.
I mean, it just must be the, like you've almost been given that second chance. I mean, are you taking your boots just in case?
I'd be lying if I didn't say I was jealous of the players. There is a decent amount of that running through me, but. When I think back to those two games, we were incredibly unlucky at Shildon. We conceded with what was the final kick of the game, in the replay we were outclassed. You know, there was no arguments with that defeat. It was completely deserved. We didn't perform. I think the St Austell one nags longer. I know it nags my dad perhaps even more than me, because I think they were there for the taking. You know, it was a wet day. We led. We made a couple of clangers. So we saw the masters of our own downfall really then. But yes, this is much bigger than Rob Saunders and any of those players that played in both those games. This is about the badge, and it does allow the club. But I think anyone that's played their part, I think this is a moment for the people that have played their part over the years on Sunday. So, yeah, I will take great joy in it. There will be a tinge of jealousy. But I don't think the boys need me.
Well, having heard all that, Rob, I mean, I can concur with that. You know, I was on the coaches to both of those games, and it's still recent enough in my mind to think we've put this right now. We're at the final. So we've gone two steps further than we had before. And, I obviously I feel for you, Rob, because you were out there on both of those games. And, you know, this is as good as it gets, isn't it, really?
I think, you know, the bit that rang was me is that the tournament has changed in recent years because replays, straight to penalties, you know, the replays have ended and it's gone straight to penalties. Then, so those kind of things, I sometimes think, okay, would we have won a shootout, a Shield and straight away? Those kind of things. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Do you remember at Shildon where we had a Gazza-like moment in extra time, didn't we? I can't think who it was had one on the line about a foot off and it didn't go in.
Yeah, I paid her for a lot of therapy to go over this. You boys keep, you boys keep reminding me I would have missed, Doug. It was Boona that missed. And that WhatsApp group is still alive and well with those teams back there. And, there's every now and then there's reminders of those moments to make sure the lads don't forget. There's messages sent as far as Canada for him to make. He can't escape that miss up the Shildon. So,
And it's not what we always love about non-league finals. There's always a story. We're always looking for the story before the events happened and as to where that's come from. You've really been the club to watch this season, I think, in this competition. You know, there was the 10-1 win in the second qualifying round at AEK, home to AEK Boko. But I think in that game, you even went 1-0 down, didn't you?
It seems bizarre when you look at it, doesn't it? Yeah.
Do you know, I think we've gone behind in many games this season, actually, which is part of the makeup of the side. They just get on with it and they pull themselves back in. They've got a lot of character at the side this year.
I've been asked about our chances a few times on Sunday, and I think we deserve to win. And what I mean by that is, I think if you look at the runs to Wembley, we've played 9 fixtures versus Newport, have only played 6. You could say they deserve that fact. I think 7 of those have been away. The last 4 rounds have all been away. And then you just look at the league performances and nearly 100 goals, 100 plus points, the most at that level across the country. I think the team deserve their moment, Sunday, for all of that hard work over a 9, 10, 12-month, what's sure, a 12-month period. But yeah, as Doug's alluded to, they're a 90-minute team. They just keep going. They are relentless. So, if Newport want to retain that, they're going to have to perform for the whole fixture.
And that tends to be the sign of winning teams as well, the ones that keep going. I can't remember the last time I saw a game that only had 1 minute of extra time. If you can continue for the 14 minutes that the referees added on, then you've got a much better chance of getting a result. You mentioned all those games as well, and that included that trip down to Buckland Athletic that was, I think, called off about 12:30, aborted due to the weather. Again, those sort of events, I guess, are quite good if you're on a team coach because there's plenty of banter then that goes around and sort of builds that team morale, the buzz that certainly seems to be all around Ascot United.
Well, I remember thinking, didn't it get turned around at Portishead, Doug? I remember thinking they're going to be late.
There's a story. There is a story behind it. I was in the advance party with Dan Birchmore, our club secretary, and we were going ahead to just check things out. And it had been raining all week that week, hadn't it? I think we got called off the week before, going on memory.
Yep. It always looked like it was going to be dodgy, but you know, you'd all set off and you'd all got there. And I remember getting a text from Simon around lunchtime, and I think he'd blocked out the expletives that he wanted to tell me about. But
yeah, well, what happened? They stopped at the services, as you say, somewhere around Portishead or Bristol Way, I think, when it was iffy. And Dan and myself and Neil, I think it was, we went ahead and we got to Buckland and we met the people there. We were nearly there because the car was a lot quicker. And I guess we were checking it out just to make sure if it was really off as well, you know. But what a great bunch of people they were, actually. And they did, they had their own rain cloud over the top of the ground. Everywhere else in the southwest was sunny, but apart from that one ground. And in fact, to the point that we stayed there for the rest of the day and carried on, and we went to watch Brixham play Rains Park Vale in the which was the only other game played. So yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was the game that the manager, started to believe. I think they thought that was going to be a real test. I listened to something he said earlier this week, and the Buckland fixture was the one where Wembley didn't seem unrealistic at that point. So when it was finally played, it seemed like a pivotal moment in their belief. So it was better to wait and happen as it did than perhaps, who'd have known, if it was on the first time, we might not be chatting to you today, Tim. So who knows?
Must also say that we've got a great affinity now with Buckland. Nigel, who's the chairman there, he keeps in touch with us now since that. We obviously very gracious in there, you know, when after we beat them down there. And good club to know, actually, these days. So we may see them for a pre-season friendly.
That's great to know, because we always talk about the benefits of the FA Vars is you often get to meet people from other clubs that you'd never come across, you know, if you were in the same division or same league. So it is good that those friendships are struck up. And, you know, certainly I ended up falling into this because of people that I'd met through those sort of games. And I guess they'll probably be cheering you on from home as well in the game. You are up against the holders of the FA Vars. They've been there before. They were... I saw them last year, a pretty convincing 3-0 win over Littlehampton Town in that final.
That first goal, Tim, how good was that? That volley from about 35 yards. Imagine having that moment in your career.
One of the benefits of being in the media suite at Wembley for these sort of games is that you do have a small TV that shows you the replays, because otherwise... You're at Wembley, you've seen that great goal, but you might not have seen it. And then it's one of those where everybody's talking about it. And do you think they're going to be less nervous on the day? Or does being the holders, does that carry its own burden on their shoulders?
I don't know if it matters. I imagine they're not going to have exactly the same side from what I can see. I think there's probably... The team that played in their final at MK Dons 10 days ago, whenever it was, probably had six or seven. Mm. A couple of those were on the bench. I don't quite know how that works. I guess there is a benefit in the naivety, perhaps, that brings a bit more energy about our team. I don't know. Doug and I have never been there. We wouldn't know what it was like. But if it is an advantage, I don't see it as a big one.
I agree with that, Rob. I think our guys are, you know, they've had a great season. That they've got a lot of belief about themselves now, and that, you know, it's the last game of the season and last chance in the Vars as well, of course, you know, because with promotion they're up in the stick.
We can lose in the first round of the trophy now, so it's great. It's now, just that, going back to that nerves thing, I think when I've been asked about the team over the last couple of weeks, I think one of the biggest things for us is that the relationship, the partnerships that Asker have got through their side, there are going to be some nerves in the early stages. I think that's without doubt. But I just think the togetherness, I know every team will say it, but I've never seen a side that seems so unified in a way. I think those little partnerships, if one of them's struggling, you know that the guy next to him is going to help him out. And I think that's going to be really key for us. But I also think, it sounds bizarre, but I think after 15 minutes, you're going to be really into it. I think another big advantage for us is our home pitch. You know, Wembley's going to feel like our 3G. And, you know, I've not been to Newport Pagnell for several years when we got beat in the Bucks and Bucks however many years ago, but I can't imagine it's as good as ours. So we're very used to a good pitch, and I think that will only be a help for us. So you can look at all these things, you know, with our experience last year, our experience of that, I'm pretty sure we're going to perform. Will it be enough? Let's see.
Yeah, it's on the day, isn't it?
It's on the day. And you mentioned is that, you know, with promotion, such a successful season, to go up with the combined counties premier north title. You've moved into on the allocations that have come out the Isthmian South Central as a club, which throws up a number of sort of big local derbies for you guys, and probably looking around, it's probably the least travel of all the divisions at step four. Is that you're used to this season having some long journeys in the coach? It might just change the dynamics of how you go into next season.
Well, after the years in the Hellenic League, Doug, we deserve this, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, anything's got to be less than the Hellenic when we used to go to Gloucester about five times a season. And Oxford was the centre of the universe, I think, for us. So, you know. No, I totally agree. I think the combined counties was a good move for us. I think because it gave us a new feel and actually put us back in the area we wanted to be in. Personally, I think it was a good move, and the league we're in next season is just great. I think there's some really good fixtures. We've probably got less travelling than we had this year, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to games like Chertsey. You know, I live in Windlesham, so that's a short Uber for me, and I can have a couple of drinks. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. But there's also some new grounds in there, and of course, Met Police have dropped into that league as well. Which, going back to nice pitches back in the day, used to be one of the better ones that you look forward to. So yeah, but I think we're equipped to do well in it, and the lack of travelling can only help that. And it's also good for swelling crowds at home because we've started to grow the home fan base nicely this year. But obviously, the more away support that comes in, the better for the club too. So, yeah, looking forward to next year.
And a trip to Guernsey as well. Have you ever played overseas?
You're on Doug's chartered jet.
Well, we had a pre-season friendly with Jersey this year, so we've been practicing for it anyway.
So. All set up. So, what does a weekend look like for you guys now? You know, you've mentioned about players, how they're preparing. Ascot's not too far away from Wembley, but it is a 12:15 kickoff, so it's still a fairly early start. And sort of, I guess, by being that first game on the league finals day, you don't maybe get the nerves as you would if you were the afternoon game.
Doug's got a slightly more highbrow experience Sunday than me, so go on, Doug.
Oh yeah, well I've got a practice run on Saturday at White Hart Lane. going to see Spurs play the Bees, and then I'm thinking of taking a hotel room in Wembley for the night and staying over. But I'm coming back to Ascot, and we'll be on the coach. We'll be getting up, have breakfast, and down to the club on the coaches, and off we go. You know, so not too much time to think about it, really, Tim. We're just up and going.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. And I think once I've got my daughter ready on time, which I'll start about 5:30, I imagine, for the 8:30 leave from home. But one of the things I'm really, really looking forward to is that moment those seven or eight coaches pull away from the car park. Now, I think that's going to feel pretty special. And I know a few of my mates, you know, I had to buy 60 tickets. I think half of them are getting the train from Denham, but I wanted to make sure I was on the coach for that moment that everybody leaves. And yeah, that's going to be, yeah, I think that's the moment it's going to start to. And then there's going to be that moment where you actually see the stadium upon the arrival. And then as far as I'm aware, we're headed to the Blue Check pub for 10:30, and then the fan zone for 11, and then I want to be in the ground sort of 11:30 for the 12:15 kickoff because I think there's some pre-game stuff that needs soaking up, so don't want to be too late, but that's the plan as it stands, but I'm sure that will change because it's changed every half day so far this week. But
I guess well, one of the bonuses that we live in this smartphone era that you can record it just in case you do forget about it in a few years time.
Yeah,
there's probably bits that we'll want to delete. But I think one of the big things is recording the coverage on TV as well, making sure you press that button and have it stored for forevermore. But I got lads coming in from the Midlands. I know a boy that he's not headed over, but will be coming. He lives in Singapore. You know, there's people that are coming in from sort of all over the country and in certain parts of the world that will be taking in the game.
I totally agree, Rob. I think when those coaches pull out of the ground, you know, and we've got a big car. We're in a coach park at Ascot Race anyway, so it'll be like race day, won't it? You know, we're 7 or 8 coaches at least going off from there, and there's another half a dozen coaches on private hire people have got, you know, separate to the club. So there's going to be, you know, a good dozen coaches turn up there for us.
Well, we must have the smallest yet harshest speed bumps in non-league football, though, our ground. So I'm hoping those coaches can cope with those.
cope with the nurse. Look, yeah, chaps, I've already taken up much more time than I expected to take up, but it's been great talking to you. We could talk forever, but I guess you've probably got to make sure that all your bunting's up and all prepared. Do you shine your shoes before you go as well, like you would with your boots, Rob?
It's flip-flops and shorts on Sunday, isn't it? It's 20-plus degrees. So, I would love to be packing a bag, but I'm proud to be there in some capacity. Great to talk to you, and it's good to help promote the club because it deserves it and all the people deserve it. So, hopefully we go that one step further, but it wouldn't be a bad experience if it doesn't go our way on Sunday, but I have a feeling it might.
Thank you very much for your time, Gads. Best of luck at the weekend, and hopefully we'll speak to you post-match, maybe, with some reaction.
Yeah, leave it to the Tuesday.
Yeah. All right, Tim, it's great to talk to you. Cheers.
And that then is the end of this pod. Don't forget, there's also part one to listen to available via all your usual channels, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Thank you to all of my guests and for all of you for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season, joining throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show and myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. Please do send your picks through if you are at Non-League Finals Day on Sunday. It's always good to savour the atmosphere from other sides of Wembley Stadium or the build-up at Wembley Way. And if you're on a coach on your way to Wembley as well. Good luck for all of those involved on Sunday. Stay safe. Enjoy your football. Thank you and goodbye.
The Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA